We're in that Bible study on predestination. We should finish up this class tonight. Hopefully it's been a helpful class in looking at the passages and the false teaching that goes on concerning predestination. And I ask again, if you think I've misrepresented the scriptures in any way, to bring that to my attention, that I can make correction for that. We were in Ephesians chapter 1. We were looking at those verses there, verses 3, 4, and 5. And Paul said in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. And Paul immediately follows this by stating the principle or standard that God has chosen before the foundations of the world. His standard was that we should be holy, without blame or blemish, before him in love. So God sets the standard, the type of people that he was looking, talking to, that would be this type of character. That was what was predestinated. He talks about the adoption. We looked a little bit in verse 5. And Strong says adoption means the placing as a son, sonship in respect to God. So there's something that by which we do that we are adopted by God, and that is that plan that he has set forth. Vine says of this word, it's a placing, signifies a place and condition of a son given to one to whom it does not naturally belong. So it talks about a condition that one must meet before God adopts us. It's not just simply because we're born, that's not the condition of who God chooses to adopt, but it's the plan, the characteristic that is set forth in his word, that we become adopted children in obeying those commands. When you look at Ephesians 1 and verse 11, it says there, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Paul here is talking about God in reference to this verse. And the purpose or plan of God, which is indicated by the entire scriptures, is a person's holiness and righteousness of man, so that man will live according to the commandments of God. God predetermines the attributes one must have to be his son. In this verse, purpose means a setting forth according to vines, something that is set forth. It means a proposal, intention. When you look at Romans chapter 3, we look at some verses concerning this word. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, Paul there says, in whom God has set forth, that is Jesus. In other words, Jesus was set forth before the foundations of the world. He was predetermined that he would be the one through whom God's word would come when he came into this world. So the idea of something that is set forth is what purpose means, that God set forth this. In 2 Peter 2, in verse 9, or 1 Peter 2 in verse 9, excuse me. Peter there says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth. Again, this meaning of the word purpose, something that is shown forth. So we are to show forth God's character in us, that God's character is in us. In Acts chapter 7, and verse 52. When you're dealing with the word purpose, just give you some other things to look at of what this word means. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming. So these individuals, it's over here, these prophets that were slain. He's dealing with here that these prophets showed forth something about the idea of what purpose is. They showed forth God's purpose is what he's having reference to. In chapter 11, in verse 23, who, when he came and has seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that they with purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord. So this idea of the word purpose is used here. in chapter 27 of Acts, in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, suppose that they had attained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close to Crete. The word purpose here is not the same Vine's word or Greek word that we've been looking at. The word purpose carries, that I found, and maybe more, at least three different definitions. So when you're looking at the word trying to determine the meaning, when you look at this verse, it's not the same meaning of what we've been looking at. It just simply means here, and it's referenced to when Paul was sailing to Rome and this storm came up. It talks about they purposed what they were going to do. They were going to make a decision concerning which route or what to do. It's all it's having reference to. But it's not the meaning of setting forth something. So like I say, when you look at words trying to determine meanings and such of words, you need to look closely at the words that they mean. In Romans 9, and verse 11, for the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And he said unto them, the elder shall serve the younger. This is something that God set forth. This was God's purpose concerning these two children before the foundations of the world. So it's used again with the meaning that we've been looking at. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Paul there in writing to Timothy says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world. So Paul in writing to Timothy talks about his own purpose. According to his own purpose, he has called us. Well, what was God's purpose? Again, this idea of that God set something forth that was to be the characteristics or the attributes that one was to have in becoming a Christian or becoming an adopted child of God. Chapter 3, verse 10, Paul there says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life and purpose. So Paul would write to Timothy here and says, Timothy, you've known my purpose all along. Well, what was Paul's purpose? That which Paul set forth. Well, the book of Galatians, I know nothing but preach Christ. And that was Paul's purpose in life, was to preach Christ. He was setting something forward concerning Christ and the gospel and God's predetermined plan. Again, purpose to bring forth, to propose. When you look at Psalms chapter 57, verse 2, the writer there says, I will cry unto God Most High, and to God that performeth all things for me. Some versions may use the word purpose, that God, the things that God has purposed for me. You might have a different reading than the word performeth on that verse. Accomplishes. Purposes. So it's the same word. Just used there. Any other than an accomplice? Any different on that?
It's performs.
Performs, okay. It's just the idea of purpose on that. We talked about in Acts chapter 27, I'll give you a look at the other word that differs from this. When you look at Acts chapter 27, that differs from the first two. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it talks about as we purpose in our heart. It's a different meaning in Acts chapter 27. In verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. In other words, it simply means here a deliberate intention. He intentionally tried to keep them from their purpose. And so at least three ways this word is used, and there may be more. I didn't look at all the Greek definitions. There's several of them in vines there. So in your studies on that, you might want us to look at the different definitions of how that's used. But to determine of truth, as far as predestination or foreordination or determination that God made, you need to look at the words that apply to that in particular, and not that word has no reference to what we're studying. I wrote down, because I was having a struggle with this word purpose and determined or predestination, and I looked, pulled it up on the internet and just looked at dictionary definitions. And they're not the same. I'm not saying they're the same as vines, okay? But you kind of try to get in my mind what it was talking about. The dictionary defines purpose, the reason for which something is done. Something set up as an object or an end to be obtained. Of course, that would fit the definition of God's predestination. Something set up with an end to be obtained. An intended desire or result. And so that's a definition of purpose. God's purpose was to show mankind in the Scriptures that holiness, righteousness of man can be obtained by those who live according to the commandments of God. This God predetermines to select those who conform to His righteousness and holiness. And like I say, several brothers have dealt with this in classes or sermons. And so that was God's predetermined plan of how or who He would save and who would be lost. And He left that to man's choice. Everybody, every person that ever lived of the age of accountability has that choice to make. If you take upon the character by which God will adopt you, or you will not take upon that character. Amen. Any thoughts from anyone? Romans 8. Again, it's just similar passages to what we looked at in Ephesians. Someone read verse Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified.
We know the call of God goes out to whom? What? Everybody, okay? We learn that from Mark chapter 16, verse 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So that's one way that we look at the word call, that all are called of God, but all do not respond to them. Verse 28 says, to them who are called according to His purpose. Called in this verse simply means invited. We have parables concerning wedding feasts and those invitations that are sent out. A great many invitations are sent out. So that's all the word means, called. If you're called, then you're invited to something. And of course, all mankind is invited to what? Or to whom? To God. Okay? In Matthew chapter 20, in verse 16, Christ our says, so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. And so the many, which to me would represent all of mankind of the age of accountability, is called. But we understand that Christ said, there's just going to be a few that will change their life to fit in conformity with the characteristics that God demanded in us. And so, many are called, but few will be chosen. In 22, in verse 3, we'll start with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to come to the wedding, but they would not come. Again, the parable in that Christ's words went forth that all were called, but not all responded to that call. Man has the opportunity, but they do not take advantage of it, if you will. Verse 8, when you look at this, it says, but then he said to the servants, the wedding was ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. What does it mean by that? The call of Christ has gone out. The call of God has gone out. Why would a person not be worthy to come into the wedding?
Disobedience.
Pardon?
Disobedience.
Disobedience. Okay? Again, you have two choices in life, and we'll get this just a little bit later on, but you have two choices, if you will, in life. You can change your life to fit what God has showed us that we must be, his characteristics. Or you can remain and fit the characteristics that Satan has with him. That's only two choices you have. He said in verse 9, go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall bid to the marriage. In verse 14, Christ our said, many are called, again, but few are chosen. Again, the invitation is for all, but just a few is going to be chosen. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, this word called, again, is used when Paul here says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. In verse 7, Paul there says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this idea of someone who has been called and have met the requirements of that calling. First Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Again, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sermanthes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called to be saints. In verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek. How do you think in reference that this verse is used as far as the calling? Is it universal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Now, who is called, Bevis?
Everyone is specified, even Jews and Greeks.
So as we looked at, we said sometimes this word call is limited to certain people, and sometimes it incorporates the whole. Again, something that you look, if you will, in your studies. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Again, this idea that we're called according to his word. In other words, we are invited, if you will, to the wedding. The meaning is saints by calling. You become a saint by calling upon the name of the Lord by faith and obedience. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, Paul in writing there says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. So when you're called of God, it's not that you're predestined to be someplace, but the calling has reference to of what you are called by. Paul here says that it is the gospel. And of course, familiar passage in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How would this verse be a good comeback to someone who believes in predestination? Don, you got any thoughts?
You can't believe if you don't hear, and then again he says, how can you hear without a preacher? But what good would it do? What good would it do if there was nothing that I could do about my spiritual condition for you to be preaching to me at all?
And that's exactly what this verse sets forth, that must be done. When you look at it again, how shall they call on him whom they have not heard? Okay? And how shall they hear or believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so that, you know, if you have chosen for a time who you are, that you're going to be saved one way or another, this verse is useless, as well as all the scriptures. Again, it's the plan, the character that was preached of what we must become to be children of God. Paul was called to be an apostle. He was not foreordained before the foundation of the world to be an apostle. He was called an apostle because he met the qualifications of an apostle. They set forth in Acts chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. What qualifies us to be children of God? Again,
faith and obedience.
We meet the qualifications, right, Bibles? For what God set forth before the foundations of the world. Again, back in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul goes on to say, as he said, who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreordain, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many children. To what did God predestinate those whom he foreknew in this verse? What will they be conformed to? Or to whom were they to be conformed to?
Christ.
To Christ. So they were to be conformed of the image of his Son. Again, these characteristics that we must take upon. That's how we're called according to God's purpose. We have met those qualifications that God has set forth.
You know, I think one thing that people have a problem is when you grow up, you hear the word predestination, and you think of how the world around you uses it, the religious world, and when, you know, you go back to the Bible, it may not mean the same, such as some of the other words that have been took over.
Again, in verse 29, it talks about who did God foreknow or foreknew. It was those who was conformed to his Son's image. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, Paul there says, be not conformed to this world. And when you look at this word conformed in these two verses, they have almost the same meaning, but they vary just a little bit. According to Vines, to be conformed to God's Son means having the same form as Christ. A nature that is not changeable. So when we're conformed to the image of Christ, we should have a nature that cannot be changed. Not saying we do not sin from time to time, but we are to be Christ, like God, something that is not changeable. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it means to shape or fashion one thing to another. What he's saying here, do not fashion yourself to the world, which is changeable. And so do not be conformed to that which changes the world, but be conformed to the image of Christ, which does not change. And so that's who we are to be conformed to, and that's what Paul is telling here. Be conformed to his image. In verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Whom he called, he also justified. God's call, again, was for all mankind to be justified. Those who accept the call will be justified. The call of God is issued to all, as we talked about. Any thoughts on those three verses? A couple more we can be done with this. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Basically, these are about the same on that. There's many, many more that you could look at than what we have covered. But 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, Father, I said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because he hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Again, how have you been chosen? As Paul talks about here. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Kind of sounds a little bit like Romans 10, verse 14, does it not? Belief in the truth, something that is taught on that. So you're a chosen. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Paul there says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So when he talks about here in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians, that you are sanctified, sanctification is through the Spirit and belief in the truth. What are the fruits of the Spirit? We just read from Galatians 5, verse 22. What's the fruits of the Spirit we must put on that are not should not be changeable in our life? Again, go ahead.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
When you look at attributes, characters that you must put on, this is what we're talking about. Ephesians 5 and verse 9 deal with the same fruits. That we're not to be with the fruits of the world, but those fruits of the Spirit. And the last verse is in Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. Ordained simply means to arrange in an orderly manner, to place it in a certain order. Are to appoint. So they were appointed, if you will, or ordained. When the Gentiles heard this, in the context is that Paul and Barnabas is being sent. And you go back to verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, referring to the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, what did the Gentiles hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? You hear again what God demands that we must do. And so the whole world was taught the gospel. And again, if one's already saved, what's the purpose of preaching? We're just wasting our time.
That ties in so good to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, where we read there, because when you go into 14, you know, it makes the point to which he called you by the gospel. He called you by our gospel.
It's amazing. I don't know of these, of Calvin and others, how they deal with these verses that's been brought out with other brethren, what we've looked at so far in this study, or these three studies, of how they deal with those verses. And the words, I don't know. But any other thoughts?
Again, Horace, what you brought out, what Mark did in Acts 2, after hearing the gospel, and Peter telling them what they had to do in order to obtain remission of sins, he says in verse 39 that the promise is unto you and your children, to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He will call everyone the same way that those Jews on the day of Pentecost was called, that's through the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah. Hopefully it's been a beneficial study. I know it's probably, again, there'll be more points brought out. There's so much on this that, three lessons and nothing you're going to cover it. But each time brethren talk about it, more is brought out that, you know, you've never considered. Hopefully some things have been brought out that you've never considered. Maybe help clear your thoughts up on what was predestinated that you may not have known. Anything else, maybe? Okay, thank you.